This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 78th episode of my podcast, AppForce One. My name is Jeroen Dengnas, and I've been developing software for over 20 years, developing iOS apps for over 10 years, and I'm running the Dutch CocoaHeads for over 9 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast, because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about two ways to unit test Test Notification Center in Swift, how to code sign on CI along with Xcode AutoSign, quick guide on local notifications for iOS, Swift UI supporting external screens, and exploring data with Swift tabular data and data frame. I will also mention a couple of meetups happening with the CocoaHeads and share some information about the App DevCon conference happening in June. So let's get started. So it's been a fun week last week. A lot of things happening. I've been busy tasking my team members to travel to various conferences. So a lot of details with conferences going on. Also, Michaela Caron did her first YouTube video sponsored by Stream. And it was very fun to see her publish her first tutorial style, instruction style video. Yeah, just really nice to see. What was also really nice to see was the Swift Community Awards done by Paul Hudson. Definitely have a check on that post by Paul Hudson, because there's some interesting people, resources, and projects on there that each individually you should have a look at and check out. So well worth the effort to have a look at. It's the second week of the school vacation of my kids, but this week they're sleeping over a lot with my parents and my mother-in-law. So it's a lot easier in the home to deal with everything and to get everything organized. Also, finding some quiet time to do a podcast recording is quite easy now. Kids having a school vacation, they tend to get bored at some point, but I think that's a good thing, right? Being bored is the time and space that you need to actually start thinking and to start getting up with new ideas to be able to have some fun afterwards again. So, yeah, lots of stuff. Preparing some conference visits, and let's just dive into the news articles of this week. So the first article is by Leonardo Maia Puglesi, two ways to unit test Notification Center in Swift. In his article, he will go into some detail on how you can actually unit test Notification Center in Swift, because Notification Center is a nice convenient architecture that you can use to disconnect the sources and the recipients of events within your code base. But the problem can be that it is quite hard to actually unit test this. So in his article, Leonardo goes into some details on how you can actually do this with XCTest and XCT assert equal statements, and also how you can pretty much architecture code in such a way that it is easier to unit test the notification behavior in your code. So it's a fun read. It's a bit of an API that not many people are too familiar with, the NS Notification Center. It's been with iOS development right from the start, but I do notice in Swift that people have a tendency to use more combine-based and async-based mechanisms to communicate within their applications. But still, Notification Center is an important thing. You cannot escape it. You always have to use it at some point in your code. So definitely worth checking out the article by Leonardo. The next article is called How to Code Sign on CI along with Xcode AutoSign. It's an article by Semwise, and Xcode has added the imaging feature a couple of years ago to automatically manage signing for you. It's a simple checkbox that will make your life with Apple's developers
portal a lot easier. You don't have to provision profiles anymore manually, right? But there's one issue, and that's the continuous integration, continuous deployment environment that you want to have running and building your applications. So how can you do this in a way that it actually works for your CI/CD environment as well? Well, in his article, Samwise has some small tips that will actually help you get this done. It's actually quite simple. He makes a difference between debug and release builds. Basically, the tip that Samwise gives is that you have to do manual signing for CI, but that you can locally still use automatic signing if you want to. The third article is called A Quick Guide on Local Notifications for iOS by Natasha Fedeva. Learn how to schedule local notifications in different ways and how to handle them. It's a short read and a good overview with code samples on how you can use local notifications. So that's the UN User Notification Center, not the NS Notification Center that I mentioned in the first article. But it's a way that you can use the UN User Notification Center to schedule local notification, but also to do the plumbing work beforehand before you actually are allowed to schedule local notifications within an iOS app. So it's a short read with lots of code samples that you can immediately use in your code. And just have a look at it. It's just a fun little bit of information that is well worth the read. Then the fourth article is a follow-up article by Keith Harrison. It's the follow-up article on previous week's article that I shared on supporting external screens in your app. In his previous article, Keith basically went into how you can use UIKit to get access to an external screen using a UIKit interface. In this article, in this week's article, he will go into the details of what you can do with SwiftUI only APIs. So you will notice within his article that you will run into the limitations that SwiftUI provides with getting access to an external screen. But it is a good read to have a look at, especially compared to the article of last week, to see what the problems are that you are solving with last week's solution compared to this week's solution. So it basically boils down that Apple needs to make some additions to the SwiftUI app lifecycle in iOS 16 to be able to use a full SwiftUI implementation for supporting an external screen. And then the fifth article is a bit of an outlier for me. It's called Exploring Data with Swift Tabular Data and Data Frame by Eric Callanan. It's actually API that I was myself unaware of, but it is basically API that allows you to load CSV or JSON format into an object called a data frame, in which you can explore and manipulate this data. It's basically tabular data, rows and columns, like a bit like a database table, but then in memory. But as essentially, Apple has dedicated API for this since iOS 15. So it's an article that goes over to some details. How can you load data into a data frame from a CSV file? What can you then do with the data in this data frame in like querying and manipulating the data? You can also do like typical relational effects like grouping and renaming of columns. And it's an interesting exploration of an API that was very unfamiliar to me. So immediately after this article, reading it, I dove into the tabular data and data frame API documentation on Apple. The documentation is sparse, but very useful. And I know next time I have some sort of tabular data, I know which API to use, provided I have like a deployment target of iOS 15 or better. So that's the final article of this week. I also wanted to do a mention of some CocoaHead SNL meetups that are happening in May and in June. So in May, there will be a local meetup on May 18th. Have a look at the show notes for a link. On June 6th, that's the WWDC evening, there will be a local viewing party at the office of Q42. It's going to be a lot of fun as well. And on June 15th, there will be a meetup at the office of Stream, which will also be live streamed online, and I will be there in person, and I hope to meet some people from the iOS community in the Netherlands again. And if you're international, definitely have a look at joining us on the live stream and watching the presentations that will be done on June 15th. The next thing is the final thing really is the AppDevCon conference, appdevcon.nl. If you haven't bought tickets yet, have a look at their website. They have an interesting lineup scheduled. They have like the initial batch of speakers published now, and you should definitely check them out. Same goes for all the other conferences that I keep mentioning on Twitter. So that's iOS Dev UK, SwiftConf, App Builder CH, Swift PL, Swift Leads, and 360 iDev. Probably I'm missing some, like for instance French Kit, but there's a whole bunch of events going on. Yeah, definitely make sure to check those out. Talk to you again next week. If you have any feedback on my podcast, please let me know. I'm just a DM away on Twitter, or you can just openly mention me on Twitter as well. I love getting feedback from anybody listening. And I hope to meet you at a conference somewhere in the world soon, because it feels good being able to travel again.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.